podcast. Hosted by Gondi, chatting randomly to radio people about radio.
Sutto, all the way live from Canada, joining me on the podcast, Vancouver, to be a little bit more specific. Thanks for joining me, mate.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it, especially in this crazy world that we're in.
I know. So you're doing the whole lockdown thing at the moment?
It's not lockdown here yet. We're probably a step away from lockdown. We still have non-essential businesses open. It's been like that for about 3 or 4 weeks, but it's pretty crazy.
So basically the same as Australia at the moment, yeah?
Yeah, but less intense, it sounds like. Like no one's getting pulled over or stopped for eating Chico rolls on the beach. So we're all good as that.
Don't believe all the headlines that you hear, Sutto. You know, that's just that's just the Daily Mail pumping out some headlines, I think. But yeah, I mean, it's a weird time, which I'm sure we'll chat more about on this podcast. But let's just quickly with you. So you're an Aussie radio guy living in Vancouver, hosting the drive show on Z95.3, Sutto and Vanessa. So you guys are on 3 till 7 in the afternoons.
Correct. Yes, that's right. And we've been together for about a year and a half now doing that show.
Okay. And so what jobs did you have in the lead up to finding your way there in Vancouver? So just a quick sort of radio history up until this point.
Okay. Very quickly. I grew up in Sydney. I worked on the promo team, block driving Black Thunders for Today FM and Triple M Rock Patrol in Sydney. Then I got a job in Goulburn. Then I was at Zoo FM in Dubbo. Then CFM Gold Coast, CFM Hobart, Nova Adelaide for a couple of years. Then I went overseas and backpacked in Canada. Then I came back and I was at sea on the sunny coast and then hit 105 in Brisbane for 4 or 5 years before I came over here.
And so was it the stints in Canada that made you want to head that way?
Yeah, it was. Ever since I backpacked there, I worked in bars and stuff in Canada, mainly in Toronto. I was working at restaurants and bars, and I went into a local radio station there just because I was a radio nerd. I wanted to see what was up. And I couldn't get casual or part-time work there. They just wanted to give me full-time work. And I thought, well, that's weird. Like, it's easier to get a full-time job here rather than like a 6-month kind of stint. So that was kind of always at the back of my head. And I met some people when I went to Canada and then bizarrely got offered a job when I was in Brisbane to go and do the breakfast show in Winnipeg.
Okay. So where is that for anyone that hasn't been to Canada? Whereabouts is Winnipeg compared to say Toronto and Vancouver where you are now?
Winnipeg right in the middle of Canada. So right between Vancouver and Toronto, like dead smack in the middle, kind of like the Alice Springs of Canada.
Right. And so they just straight up offered you the breakfast show?
Yeah. And program director had never met me before. The group program director had, because I'd had a chat with him in Toronto. But yeah, basically got hired over a Skype interview and I was there 4 weeks later.
And so is that hosting solo? Were you on air with anyone at the time? How do they work their shows over there?
So I got pulled in there solo and then it was, a matter of them asking me who I wanted on the show. So we had a bunch of people kind of come in and I guess kind of audition for the show. And then a month later we decided on someone and, it was Matt and Jen in the mornings in Winnipeg.
And so how do they find the Aussie accent, when you're over there? I mean, that must have been, I couldn't imagine they would have had any Aussies on the air there at the time. You might've been one of the first through there.
Yeah, I definitely was the first in Winnipeg and I think it tripped them out because every time they heard it, they were like, oh my God, where are you from? Like, are you from South Africa or are you from New Zealand, especially in Winnipeg, because it was so jarring there. And even like doing morning radio over there for 2 years, at the end of it, people just assumed I knew nothing about the city, or if they were a first-time listener, they just assumed maybe I just rolled into town and was just there doing like a week or so on the air. So that was I was always a novelty in Winnipeg, which kind of, pissed me off a little bit towards the end because it's like I'm trying so hard to get into the city and I'm trying to do the right things and be a local, and it never stuck.
But I mean, accents are a fairly big thing. I mean, you think of anyone that's been on air here in Australia with, say, even a UK accent, or you know, it's definitely one of those things that as soon as you hear it on the radio, you're like, oh shit, I'm not used to that. You know, it's definitely something that you would. Did you find yourself picking up a bit of a Canadian twang to your Australian accent, or you know, just simply trying to fit in and be on the air there and get a bit of respect from the locals? I mean, that's got to be a challenge for you.
I tried to understand. I don't think I ever tried to change my accent. I just wanted to be authentic. So that was, yeah, that was kind of the tough bit, because I'd throw some Aussieisms out there and people would go like, what the hell are you talking about? What is, and I'd let people call me on it just to kind of be authentic.
Yeah.
But it, yeah, it was tough, and it was a learning experience, especially when you think something's funny as an Aussie and then you realize in another country, A, it might be offensive, or B, they have no bloody idea what you're talking about. So it's trying to get that balance right. And I think for the first 6 months, 12 months, it was just, I was in the deep end.
Yeah, sure. Right. I thought the Canadians are kind of, they have a very similar sense of humor to us, you know, don't take themselves too seriously, a bit more easygoing than, say, I don't know, Americans. Would you agree?
Yeah. Yeah, they do. And they can take the piss a little bit, but I think if you do it too far, it becomes offensive very fast.
Right.
And the I don't know, the way that we'd knock someone or bring them down is kind of frowned upon in Canada. It's taken literally.
Yeah, right. And that is a big part of our humor, isn't it, in Australia?
So yeah.
You had to adjust that a lot.
Yeah, so that was hard dealing with that, especially having a co-host who wasn't used to dealing with Australians. So yep. Trying to, not offend her every morning. That was a challenge during the first 6 months. Hey,
that is a challenge on any show that you work on. You've got to find that line, and then you know when you both know where that line is, trying not to cross it. Where and also trying to push the boundaries within the show as well.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to feel someone out and then realize that you're also trying to adjust to a new country. It was good. It was a challenge. It was tough.
And so what, from there, you decided that you just loved it there in Canada and you wanted to sort of climb the ladder and stay in the country there?
No, from there, I got fired when I was in Winnipeg. That's the first time I've ever got fired in radio. And it was because I decided to flip the radio station and do a completely different format, bring in a whole new crew. So it was the dead of winter. It was February in Winnipeg. It was literally, it was minus 35 the day that I got fired. I had no job. I thought maybe I'll go back to Australia. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew a lot of people in the industry in Canada, and a few of them reached out to me, and I got offered a gig in Vancouver doing 2 days, doing Saturday and Sunday on the weekend. So I just thought, well, that's, I've got a job right now. Who cares if it's weekends? I'll go there and I'll see what happens. So that's what I did.
How close did you come to returning home?
Very close. Very, very, very close. Like it was one or the other. And this opportunity came up and I thought, you know what? It's so close to Australia. Vancouver's the closest in Canada. You're going to get to Australia if this weekend thing turns into nothing after 6 months and I can't afford to live here, then I'll just go back to Australia.
So 2 days a week. I mean, that's still, it's not a full-time gig though, really, is it?
No, it wasn't. But luckily I got some other stuff to do during the week that kind of fell in my lap as well. So I was doing some like social media, Vox Pop type stuff for another 2-3 days. Basically waiting for someone to come up or someone to leave or something to happen. And luckily that happened.
Like you do at any radio station, basically. So are the stations there, because I've been to the States, so I've been to New York and a lot of I went through the radio stations there and they're very satellite heavy and they don't run like Australian radio stations run with your typical breakfast show, workday people, drive hosts. They've just kind of got shows that people subscribe to. So would you say that radio where you are now, say Vancouver or in Canada in general, is very close to the way Australian radios run?
There's not really much networking going on here. That's probably the thing that's a little different. It has happened. It's like a lot has changed since I've been on the air in Vancouver in 5 years. But when I started in Vancouver, there were no shows that were coming from out of market. There was live jocks in every position up until midnight. There was a live night show, for example, like weekends were all live out of Vancouver, and there was nothing else, no other content originating from Vancouver on the radio station.
That's a good thing though, isn't it? I kind of like the whole local, you know, that's great.
Yeah, it was a good thing, but also, I don't know, when you can get content that is better and transcends the localness, then I think you can go with that to some extent. So I think there's an in-between to be had between like crazy networking of something just to get it into another market and having local for the sake of having local when there's talent elsewhere that can be better utilized. And I think that mix is probably shifting a little bit right now.
So you would agree with that, even if, say, they came to you guys and said, hey, we're going to take this show out of Toronto now, so thanks for your time?
You know what? I enjoy a challenge. So if they can do a better show than we can do, sure, go for it. Like that keeps me on the edge of my seat. Maybe I'll just move back to Australia. Who knows?
Hey, maybe they'll come to you and say, do you guys want to do a national show from there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do a national show out of Vancouver for the rest of our stations on the weekend. It's called the Social 20. So it's the top 20 songs on social media across Canada. So that's that part of it's been good for me so far.
Yeah, I saw that on your Instagram actually. So that's huge to go from, say, your 2 days a week when you moved to Vancouver, not knowing what to expect, and then to build it from there. It's an amazing effort, but I saw on your Instagram, it was a 5-year process, right?
Yeah, it took a long time to get to that. And I'm like, what happened in Winnipeg when I got fired, I don't know, it just made me really hungry to get back in radio and start from basics. Instead of, you know, walking into a breakfast show, it was back to how do I construct a break? How do I make this entertaining in 30 seconds? How do I get as many calls as I can on the air on the weekend? How do I not break the format but kind of stand out? And so it was good to get back to that, which was for a year doing weekends. And then I got a gig in I went to nights. And then after that, I went to Drive. And that's we probably had like 4 program directors during that process. So there's a lot of people coming and going as well.
And so how long have you and Vanessa been doing the show for? You mentioned it at the top. How long together?
A year and a half.
Okay. So that's still pretty new. I mean, that's a relatively new show on the air.
Yeah. I think we're just kind of hitting our stride now, which is good. And she's a local Vancouver girl, like grew up here. Obviously lives here now, so it's good to have her on board to balance out my Aussie accent sometimes. So
yeah.
It's a really good mix.
And what's her background in radio? Where has she sort of climbed the ranks through?
She joined the promotions team here at Z95.3, and then she moved to Toronto for a little bit, and then she came back and she was doing radio at a bunch of other radio stations in the market here in Vancouver before she joined Z95.3 to do weekends. And then she went to evenings, and then we pitched the Drive show to the group program director. And thankfully they saw value in it, which is
so
good.
You guys had to do demos and all that kind of stuff and said, hey, we think we'd be the next great Drive show.
Yeah, we did a lot of crossovers because I was on Drive solo and she was on the night show solo. So we do a lot of kind of crossover breaks. And then eventually that led into her coming in an extra hour out of her time. And we did like an hour together to do some kind of phone topics that we thought would work. And then just harassing program directors and just like, we should give it a go. We should give it a go. We should give it a go. And then after a year of doing that, finally the opportunity came up, which is good.
But that's what you got to do, isn't it? You got to hustle a little bit, you know, put your own ideas out there. You know, you just got to sort of make it work, I guess, before you kind of got to, it's as if you got to give them the idea as if they thought of it, but for ages you guys had been working on it for, you know, all that time to really get it off the ground.
Yeah, exactly. Like do the hard work, let everyone else take the credit for it. And I don't think you see enough of that in radio now. People who are just pounding and pounding and pounding and just so hungry for it. And they're the people that, you know, end up getting these jobs.
Yeah. Well, I guess social media is one of those big factors where everyone expects things handed to them in a way, and they forget that it takes time and a lot of effort to really get to, especially in our industry and in radio. I find now that less moves are being made for whatever reason. So you've really got to be the one that really sticks it out and sticks in there.
Yeah, and you've just got to take that, whatever niche you can find, and just work it. Like, just focus on what you think you do well and just keep after people.
What's the, comparing it to Australian radio again, so what's the, I've chatted to a few people that work in Dubai, and they say that, you know, in Dubai it looks like there's a lot of money in the industry, but actually there's not when you compare it to Australian radio. So what are your, say, promo budgets like? If you guys have a big idea, how much does the station get behind those, or do you have to do a lot of stuff sort of that doesn't cost a lot of money? You know, that's a way stations are going now as well. Where does it sit with you guys there?
I think, looking back at Australia, I'm like, wow, we had a budget to do some crazy stuff that would not work over here because there was so much money. And I think that comes down to how many stations are in the market. When I was in Brisbane, for example, like, you listen to Hit 105 or you listen to Nova, like that was it. Like, you had, if you were into that music, that was the choice. Whereas here, there's probably 14 commercial radio stations in this market. So everyone's jostling for a piece of the pie, and you know, you slip up once, that's a percentage point, and then you could easily tumble from second down to eighth or ninth or whatever in the survey. So I mean, it's there's not a lot to go around here.
So do they put money into your ideas and that kind of stuff, do you find?
We've pitched a lot of stuff. I guess my ideas don't, or our ideas on the show, don't really involve that much cash. It's like, it's a lot of stuff that involves more activity on social media and stuff that doesn't involve just throwing cash to the market, more kind of viral stuff that we're working out. Like, for example, we had an idea the other day, probably a couple of weeks ago before this whole COVID thing took off, just to give away a shitload of toilet paper. So we went and bought, I think it was $500-$600 worth of toilet paper in the afternoon, just on a whim. And that was not a problem to get that by, and to get the promotions budget, and to get the people to film it and do all that kind of stuff.
That's still pretty good. $500-$600 to just throw at an idea like that. I mean, if you look at a lot of the stations outside of the metros here, you wouldn't just have $500-$600 unless it was sponsored by someone, or, you know, you wanted to bring someone in on the idea. So you bring a toilet paper company in on the idea, and they cover it and you credit them, and that's kind of how it works. So there's still money there by the sound of it. I mean, there's still enough to, where you're not having to generate ideas that absolutely cost nothing.
No, it's not like regional radio when I was working in Dubbo, where you needed a sponsor to get anything by. It's an in-between that, and I think it's an in-between that to a metro station, like a Sydney or a Brisbane. Like, we play Alpha Bucks every afternoon, which I'm sure like everyone has heard of in Australia. And that's $500 every afternoon. So that's decent for our show.
Yeah, that is good. You mentioned ratings. So how did the ratings work there? How many times per year? How many weeks? How does it run?
Normally spring and fall are the two kind of rating books that we look at the most. And I think that's 3 or 4 months. And that's consistent. I mean, between that, the ratings are 24/7. There's no stopping ratings. So you can get ratings for Christmas Day. You can break it down to hours, overnights are rated. Yeah, everything's, it's just kind of rolling. But spring and fall are the big ones here.
And for the year and a half that you guys have been on air, how have you gone in the ratings?
We've done pretty well. We've been top five a bunch of times. I think we've been fourth in Drive, which out of 14 radio stations for a show that's only been together for a year and a half, I think that's pretty good. And
mate, that's awesome. Top five out of 14 stations. That's huge. Is there a standout Drive show, like a Hamish and Andy, that are just sitting at the top and maybe been there for ages? Or can you see yourself getting to the top in the next year or so?
That's the thing. There isn't really anything like that in this market for Drive, because I think most of the effort on all the radio stations is purely focused on like mornings, like breakfast radio. It was in the past, there were lots of Drive shows here, but it kind of got cut back just to do music for some reason or other. And like, we were one of the radio stations that went back to doing a Drive show first. There is another show in the market that does a full on Drive show, but that's a repurposed breakfast show out of Toronto that rate really highly in Toronto. So that's repurposed to a 2-hour kind of, I guess not highlights package because it's Vancouver and it's new here, but like, yeah, like it's a 2-hour show that runs in the afternoon here.
Would you say, if, again, just comparing it to Australian radio, because a lot of people that listen to this podcast are from Australia. So is Toronto like, say, Sydney radio because they're the big market there? Is that how it works in Canada?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Toronto's where all the money comes from. Toronto's where all the decisions are made. That's where all like I guess most of the group program directors are based. It's corporate.
Right. And so your station, your company, you have a station in Toronto and you guys are a part of that company?
Yeah, exactly. It's a different format to the station that we run here in Vancouver. So there's not really much crossover that we have with that station, but that's where Stingray, the station that I work for, are based.
Right. And so yourself and Vanessa, you guys are happy in Vancouver where you are, or are you trying to get to Toronto? What discussions do you guys have?
In the past, it was always my goal to work in Toronto, especially when I was in Winnipeg, because I came with that mentality that I had when I was in Australia, that I wanted to work for the biggest market. I don't think there's been any Aussie that has worked, or someone with an Australian accent that has worked in the Toronto market. So that was always my goal to get there. That's where you would probably make the most money, get the most attention, and your accent would stand out more there in Toronto. So that might be a bit of a challenge. But for me, since moving to Vancouver, and when I moved to Vancouver, I didn't think I would like it as much as I did, but loving the outdoors here, I love the laid backness of Vancouver. I love the fact that there are so many Australians that are here hanging out in Whistler that my accent doesn't really get a second glance from anyone. It just kind of blends in. So for me, like, this is the market that I want to stay in. And Vanessa, she's from Vancouver, so she's got that homegrown appeal. And I've been here 5 years now, so I can throw down local references. And that works for us. So,
but yeah, that's a good place.
No real incentive.
That's a good place to be in when you're happy in the market you're in and you're no longer, I know you guys have goals and stuff that you want to achieve, but when you're no longer looking up and going, oh, I want to climb that ladder for this reason or that reason, to own a market and be, you know, I'm happy here. This is where I want to be. I think that's the perfect position for any radio host to be in.
Yeah. And I equate it to, I mean, you've worked in Brisbane, like when you can go to Brizzy and throw down some Brisbane Broncos players references, throw down some local references, talk about state of origin, be comfortable doing that, then that's the way I feel here with Canucks, our local hockey side, and throwing down references and talking about where people might have grown up, even though that wasn't my experiences. I know the big clubs that people went to in the 90s. I can throw that down if we play a 90s song reference. So it's taken a long time to get there. You're right. It's a good place to be in.
Are you a citizen there now? Are you? Because I did see on your Instagram page, it said you're a Vancouverite. And so does that mean you are you a citizen?
I'm so close. I was supposed to be at a citizenship ceremony when Canada played Australia, ironically enough, in a warm-up for the Olympics here in soccer. And that was supposed to be this week, actually. I was supposed to be sworn in, but because of this whole bloody COVID thing, obviously that got cancelled. So I'm in this weird, I don't know whether I'm a citizen yet, and I don't know when I'll be able to become a citizen, but I should be, yeah.
But you're right. Until that happens, you're safe to be in that country for now. There's no need to panic as if you've got to sort of leave and come back, or I'm not sure how that works with visas and stuff, but you're good. You're good to go.
No, I'm a permanent resident, so I'm fine. Yeah, I won't be extradited back to Australia anytime soon.
And do you think that will you be proud to become a Vancouverite? Would you be, you know, is that something that now that you've been there for 5 years, I get a sense just looking at your Instagram that you're really proud to be there and be a part of that city?
Yeah, I'm really proud of this country and I'm really proud of what I've achieved here. And it's a great place to live. So yeah, I can't wait until I have that opportunity.
When you become a citizen there, do you feel like you lose some sort of connection with Australia? I mean, I often think when people become citizens of other, there's a lot of NBL basketball players here who are from the States and they become Australian citizens. And I always think, oh, do you feel like you're cheating on your, on the motherland in a way? Or what is that feeling like? Nah.
don't make me choose, otherwise this call might have to magically disconnect.
It's that tough.
No, I feel like it just validates the time that I've done here and the work that I've put in, because I've been here for 7 years now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you had asked me, like, what would I give up my Australian citizenship to become a Canadian citizen? No, I wouldn't. Because, like, it's still a big part of me. I still watch Rabbitohs games all the time. I still listen to Cold Chisel on a Saturday night because I just feel like it. I've still got Vegemite. I still have a Barocca every weekend when I've had way too many beers. You can't take that part away from
me. Is that Australian? Is Barocca Australian? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I got here and you can't find Barocca. So I buy it in bulk and bring it back and get weird looks.
Yeah. No. Yeah, like you're smuggling Barocca into the country. So yeah. So becoming a citizen there doesn't mean you love Australia any less or feel any less connection to Australia. So would you ever have one eye on the radio industry here and think of jobs back in Australia? Do you keep an eye on Radio Today or anything like that?
Yeah, I do all the time. And I think there was a job that came up in Brisbane recently and I was like, oh man, like, oh, Brizzy, like I miss Brizzy. I could go back there. I lived there. I loved it. I lived in Paddington. I had so many friends there and still have so many friends that I could totally do that. But at the same time, I'm not done here and this is home and the show that I'm doing at the moment is amazing and I've got no reason to leave Vancouver. So,
and your partner's from there, right? You've got a partner that's from Vancouver?
Yes. My fiance, she works for CBC. So it's the equivalent of ABC. TV over here in Vancouver.
And if you were to return to Australia, what's her thoughts on Australia?
She loves Australia. I think she would probably do some time in Australia, but I think it's harder for her to get, it would be harder for her to get a job in Australia with the accent. I think Canadians, to be honest, are more accepting when it comes to accents than Australians are. Like I can't imagine many radio stations in Australia just employing someone that has a Canadian accent or an American accent and just throwing them in a drive ship. I think, yeah, I don't know what that is.
And so you guys met through doing radio, a radio relationship.
We met in the incestuous circles of media in Winnipeg.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, I met her in Winnipeg and then we moved to Vancouver.
Because a friend of mine put me in touch with you actually and made me aware of what you're doing. That's Alyssa.
Alyssa Tebow, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was chatting to her because she lives in Vancouver and, I just got chatting to her and she mentioned that you were doing radio over there and I thought, oh, wow, an Aussie on the air in Vancouver. So you mentioned it before, but there's a lot of Aussies there. There's talk that Vancouver's they shoot a lot of Hollywood films there, right?
Yes, they do. And we call it the Gumleaf Mafia. Well, actually Drex, who works here, he calls it the Gumleaf Mafia. So there's a bunch of us Aussies that will occasionally get together and have some beers and talk about random stuff.
Don't they call it Hollywood North in Vancouver? Have you heard that?
Yes. Yeah, with all the TV productions and stuff going on here. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that happens here.
Is that a new thing or is that something that's been going on for a while?
I think it started like probably in the late 90s.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of – you'll randomly drive around and just see productions everywhere, like the X-Files was filmed like a couple of streets down from where I am now, like purely filmed in Vancouver. So it's pretty cool.
So does Vancouver have a bit of a entertainment kind of buzz for that reason, which is great for our industry as well, you know, radio and that kind of go hand in hand. Does it create that bit of a, does the city have that kind of creative buzz to it?
It does, but I think only at an industry level. For some reason, there's not like that many celebrities that will do drop-in interviews because I guess their publicists are back in LA and they can do something on one of the late shows down there and then cover off all their bases, if that makes sense. So that's kind of, yeah, that's something that I miss that's probably happens more in Australia where you get the celebrities that will come around for interviews that will come in studio and do that kind of stuff. Because here, that's more of a rarity.
Well, I think here in Australia, they've come all this way. So they're like, oh, well, I've come all this way. I might as well go and do the rounds. And, you know, they feel like it's the other side of the world and they've, you know, they've come this far, so they'll drop in and do interviews. But, I mean, that's a shame. If they're, they're filming and whatnot, they should just pop in. It would be great if they popped into the radio station and did chats with you guys.
Exactly. But I think you nailed it there. It's more like, oh, I'm working when I'm in Vancouver. I'm not on the publicity trail, so I'm not going to do that. I don't want to talk to radio stations, but it would be cool.
Yeah. So a bit of a radio nerd, would you say? Would you consider yourself a bit of a radio nerd like myself? I think we all have a bit of a touch of that, don't we?
Yeah. I was always someone that, like, whenever I went overseas, I just lob up at the local radio station and go, oh, can you give us a tour? Can I have a look at the radio station? What's going on? I mean, even in Australia, or if I went somewhere else, I'd just randomly drop in on the radio station or listen intently and find out, like, what sweepers they're running or what songs or all that kind of stuff.
It sounds like you've got a bit of a programming mind to you, if you're, you know, thinking along those lines as well.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I enjoy being on air too much at the moment.
Yeah, so. I bet. What shows do you listen to? Are there any shows that you like to get the podcast for, or what do you do when you're not on air? What shows do you get across?
Normally, I just like to listen to stuff that's live. So I guess on my way to work, I listen to a lot of breakfast shows in Australia. So I'll just flip around from city to city and see what's on. And that's always, that's great to listen to on my drive to work, because that's the time that I'm driving.
Yeah. Can you name any shows? Any shows in particular that you like?
I still listen to Brizzy shows because it just reminds me of living in Brizzy. So Nova and Hit 105 and obviously Kyle and Jack Yo, I listen to all the time.
Are they well known over there? Because they do, you feel like Kyle and Jack Yo are kind of a world-renowned radio show. Is that, have any Australian radio shows had cut through over there, like Hamish and Andy, Kyle and Jack Yo, the really big ones?
Hamish and Andy, definitely. I think a lot of people listen to them on like podcasts over here, so I think they've kind of transcended people in the industry taking notice. Kyle and Jack Yo, not as far as like people in the general population listening, but definitely a lot of radio people. I know that because a lot of their segments will crazily pop up on Calgary radio stations or Toronto radio stations or whatever. And it's like, okay, I think I know where you got that idea from. I think, yeah, I know where that came from.
Yeah, they've pinched it. I normally ask people at the end of this podcast what their, you know, ultimate dream scenario is, if you could pick it. I mean, it sounds like you're living it now. You love where you're living. You're loving doing the show. So it's a perfect position for you to be in. But if you had the ultimate pick of all the shows, anywhere in the world, any time slot, what's the perfect one for Sutto?
Well, number one in Vancouver is like just that little bit out of reach here. So like I'd love to nail it here, and it would mean so much considering I've put so much into this market and I love living here and I've been here 5 years. So that's the aim.
So the current show you're doing right now, but just getting it to that number one position. That's the, mate, that's,
yeah.
And do you feel like you'll get there?
I think so. Like, I think every year we take it to a next level and we introduce something new and we challenge ourselves. And Vanessa is someone who's really hungry and challenges me a lot. And it's a good place to be in.
I love it, man. All the best with it. Thanks for joining me on the podcast. I know a lot of people are interested with how, you know, our industry works overseas and, you know, an Aussie over there doing your thing and doing it well. I'm sure they're going to love to hear this episode of the podcast. So thanks for jumping on after your drive show.
Thank you. Appreciate it so much. And if you've ever thought about going overseas, just do it. Just hammer it home. Just try your best and get out there.
I love it, Sutto. Cheers, mate.
Thanks.
The Radio Randomly Podcast. Hosted by Gondi. Chatting randomly to radio people about radio.